Good afternoon, Mr. Palmer. How did I do with that timing? Was that good?
You've gotten a lot better at the music. I gotta hand it to you.
If I'm smart, what I would do is I would actually go into the soundboard and I would just cut it to like that 21 second mark. I think that's what you said yesterday. I have another edit for you. I'll play that another time. But
don't change the music. It's the only thing I look forward to on this podcast.
No, it's a different. it's the same.
Hey! I'm right here.
Differently. Oh, and yes, we've got a special guest. We'll get to him in a minute. Go ahead.
We went off the rails in 20 seconds. We need to like start a pool.
No, I'd lose money on that one. Can I borrow your corporate card? Oh man, we'd really do, but that's fun. It's good. See, how are you? It's been like 24 hours since we talked.
It's been 24 hours. It's the end of a long week. And so we decided we'd finish off this, with talking about a nice lightweight subject like Wi-Fi 7, because, you know, that's just easy. Wi-Fi is easy, right?
Well, of course Wi-Fi is easy. There's no wires involved at all.
How hard can it be to not install wires?
That's why I went wireless. I hate switches, right? So,
yeah, I'm working on that podcast episode. We're going to teach you switching if it kills me.
What if it kills me? Then who's going to host?
Well, that's true.
Our guest could host. Our guest could take over. Last man standing.
I don't know.
We should introduce him. He's been waiting long enough, and now he feels like he's going to be hosting the podcast. So
he's now elevated from guest to host. So today we got Al Brown on, and Al's from a company called SmartWave. I think I got that right. Yeah, it's in my notes. So Al, thanks for joining us. And why don't you take a second and introduce yourself to all the listeners and let them know, you know, kind of who you are, what you do, and what you guys do over there at SmartWave.
Thank you, Jim. And Jim, what a great answer. Al Brown, CEO of SmartWave Technologies. SmartWave is a wireless-centric design build management firm headquartered in Atlanta, the ATL, with offices in San Jose, Tucson, Omaha, and McAllen. We've been a Ruckus partner since 2009, so been through a few changes with Ruckus, along with the Wi-Fi standards, and we're also a four-time Partner of the Year recipient with Ruckus, so happy to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Congratulations on the four-time Partner of the Year thing.
Yeah, thanks, man. But don't get any hosting ideas. I think I'm going to decline that off.
I just got to say that I think that's the prize when you win a fifth one.
Right. I'm going to have to start doing worse.
Right. No. We love our partners.
The race to the bottom.
Tell Bart, go, Bart, I can't do any more with Ruckus because I might have to host the podcast.
I'm out, man. I'm out.
Watch his head just like explode.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. So since we're having too much fun, let's get into the heavy stuff, right? So Wi-Fi 7, we talked about this a little bit before I actually hit record, I think. It's kind of an exciting and a scary time, right? It's Jim and I are both CWNEs. I know I personally feel this. I don't know how Jim's opinion of it is, but it feels like you have to relearn Wi-Fi. But so you, Ali, you've been in the business a long time, and this is not your first rodeo in terms of changing from one generation of Wi-Fi to the next. So what does a new Wi-Fi standard like Wi-Fi 7 mean to the business of an integrator or a consultancy such as yourselves?
Well, you nailed it, John. I mean, it is exciting, right? But every new standard or model brings excitement, right? Whether it's the iPhone 15, right? Or the latest Porsche 911. You know, it's like, hey, faster, all that good stuff. But really, really excited about this release because of all the cool features it brings to the market, right? When you think about how Wi-Fi has evolved, you know, from Wi-Fi 1, it's basically historically has been taking the same block of spectrum. And most of the changes revolved around just being able to make larger channels and, you know, going from, you know, 20 meg to 40 meg, 40 meg to 80 meg, 80 meg to 160 meg to just bring on throughput. But I mean, this change with Wi-Fi 7 and really harnessing the 6 gigahertz spectrum, I mean, I would say you could argue this is the biggest change in Wi-Fi since the jump from Wi-Fi 1 to to Wi-Fi 2, and maybe even bigger than that because of all the other advantages it brings. So pretty cool stuff.
No, that's definitely, I mean, I hadn't seen somebody or hadn't heard somebody go back that far.
Right.
And that's not a bad thing. Like at the end of the day, I mean, I've been around Wi-Fi for close to a decade at this point, but I mean, I know there are people that have been dealing in Wi-Fi for since the beginning effectively. And the perspective is, I mean, I really truly appreciate that perspective, and it's kind of exciting to hear. Still a little terrified, but,
don't be scared, John. Jump in. Both feet, buddy. Both feet.
To quote Dana Carvey from one of his better movies, I fear change.
And at SmartWave, John, we take advantage of change. So
change can be good. I mean, the biggest one I like is definitely the 6 gigahertz spectrum, but I'm sure we'll get into more about what's coming soon.
So, Al, taking off, I mean, so that's sort of the CEO, founder of SmartWave answer, but you're a techie person. I went and looked it up. You know, you have a degree in mathematics, you know, from a pretty reputable school, by the way, congratulations. But you know, so you, I get the feeling that you're sort of a nerd like me. Well, maybe not. Well, nobody's a nerd like me, but you're kind of, but so taking off the CEO hat, taking off sort of the business hat, I want you to just sort of, answer this question as just a nerd, right? Just a nerd like the rest of us. You know, Wi-Fi 7 has a lot of different features that are being introduced, but what is the feature that excites you the most? What is the one thing that you look at and you go, you know, if I'm not giving a business answer, if I'm not presenting to, you know, the CIO or the CTO of a company, you know, that we're trying to get in part, you know, business with, what's the one thing that excites you the most?
Wow, that's a tough one, Jim. And as far as like technical stuff and engineering stuff, I can play one on TV. I'm the wave in SmartWave, and all the smart guys that work here, they make things happen. But when you think about Wi-Fi 7, I mean, you've got a lot of cool stuff. You've got multi-link operation, right, where you can basically, you know, transmit at the same time using multiple frequencies. I mean, that's crazy stuff, right? A really cool feature, and I'm really waiting to see all this stuff work, right? Because some of it's like really hocus pocus compared to how Wi-Fi used to be, right? I mean, puncturing, right? Channel puncturing, that's just fun to say, you know, when you think about it. But I just think about it. If you're transmitting a 320 megahertz channel size, which is humongous, somebody comes in with a 40 megahertz channel size and you're not backing off. You're just like, hey man, I'm just going to push on through and I'm going to take 280 of it and I'm going to make it happen. You know, so it's kind of a fearless Wi-Fi, if you will, right? Just head on technology. So that I think those two are really the coolest features that come along with all this additional capacity and 6 gigahertz, right? But you know, I mean, there's with this standard, there's so many cool things that they just knocked out everything. I don't even Wi-Fi 8 is going to be boring, maybe millimeter wave technology, but it's going to have, you know, it's not even going to compare.
All right. So if you ask John will tell you this is my favorite thing to do, is because I asked for one, you gave me two. So I'm going to hold your feet to the fire. I'm not going to let you get away with saying that, you know, MLO and puncture transmission. No, you got to pick one. That's my rule. If I say one, you got to pick the one. So I'm going to hold your feet to the fire and make you pick one out of those two.
Okay. I'm going to go with puncturing. I'm going to go with puncturing because, like I said, it's fun to say, you know, and the other thing is there are more and more devices than have ever been in the market. Right. I mean, I think Broadcom sold like 3 billion Wi-Fi 6, you know, chips over the last, you know, couple of years or whatever.
Right.
I mean, that's ridiculous. Right. I mean, how many devices? So you're going to have all these devices, more and more devices than ever, transmitting. And along with that, you know, you've got this whole move to all this VR stuff that's going to have high capacity requirements. There's just no way you're going to make it happen unless you can just, you know, proceed without the latency and move on. It's like I said, man, it's kind of like almost like headbutting the problems, you know, head on, as opposed to backing down and being polite about it and saying, hey, man, you go ahead and you transmit and I'll wait on you. And it's just get in there, get her done, you know?
I kind of have to agree with you, because the punctured transmission, the thing that I like about it, I'm saying it doesn't really do for me what it does for you, obviously, but that's okay. What I like about it is the idea that we're able to better utilize the spectrum, you know, because we can't keep going back to the FCC saying, hey, we need, you know, give us another 1200 megabits or megahertz worth of spectrum, you know, at 8 gigahertz or whatever. We can't keep doing that. So I like the idea that we're able to better utilize the spectrum. Cause like you were saying, you know, if you get a 40 or even a 20 megahertz wide quote unquote interfere on your 320 megahertz wide channel, you know, depending on where that was in the past, it would just dump, you know, a massive chunk of spectrum and no one would use it. So I feel like this gives us a better utilization and makes us better stewards of the spectrum by doing this. So I'm really looking forward to that one. So I'm glad you picked that one, because now we can be friends and agree on that.
Well, thanks, Jim. I mean, you're a real smart guy, and you know, makes me feel better about myself.
You're the first one that's ever said that, but
now I'm wishing I had some like warm and fuzzy music to play. It's hard for me. I'm just, to add my two cents, I can't pick one yet, because I think Al kind of touched on it, right? It's a lot of, I don't want to say it's hype now. I don't want to say it's vaporware or anything like that, but I haven't put a whole lot of focus on it yet, because I need to be able to touch it. I need the devices that can run it. I need to be able to actually see it in action. And honestly, for me, I think that's one of the exciting things about this generation of Wi-Fi, because, and it sounds crazy to think about it, but 6 and 6E came out and they were kind of during the pandemic. I mean, I literally refreshed a whole bunch of buildings at my prior job to Wi-Fi 6, and then we all went home. Never hardly got used. And some of the problems with what those waves brought us depended on people being in the building, you know. And so now we're seeing people return to the offices a lot more now in 2023 and you know, beyond, as opposed to the last couple of years. And now with Wi-Fi 7 coming out, we're going to have guinea pigs again. So it's kind of a nice, it's good timing, I think. Plus knowing the adoption, I think a lot of people have been waiting for 7. So it's kind of, the next few months are going to be exciting. But so to pivot a little bit, since we did spend a little bit of time on this, how about a time crunch here? If you had 30 seconds, give or take, to do an elevator pitch to one of your target audiences, CIO, CTO type person, you're trying to sell them on an upgrade, specifically about Wi-Fi 7, what would you bring up? What would you try to convey to them about this one? Why is it worth the upgrade in your mind?
Well, I mean, for our clients at SmartWave, we take a pretty consultative approach. I mean, we're actually not like a lot of partners. We're not good at box pushing, right? It is more about trying to be good stewards of the client's money and helping them, you know, make the right decisions. You kind of got to know where they're at in their Wi-Fi journey, right? I mean, are they still on Wi-Fi 5? Are they Wi-Fi 6? Are they Wi-Fi 6E? You know, where are they? What are their application needs? You know, is budget? I mean, we do a lot of work in cities, and you know, funding this year is going to be tough, right? Because they're typically like a year behind the commercial market, right? Because of tax revenue and like good stuff. But I mean, really, I would probably, a couple of things. One, if the clients are on Wi-Fi 5, you know, first thing I'd tell them, I'd say, hey, congrats, you made it, right? Thank you for your patience, because you are about to experience a Wi-Fi revolution. You know, I mean, you were about to go from, Kia to Porsche. You know, I mean, it's a big jump. It's a really big jump. And no offense to Kia. Kia's awesome, right?
So they've come a long way, but you're a man after my own
It's not a Porsche.
And you kind of played into this, right? You mentioned like Wi-Fi 5 to Wi-Fi 7, and I sort of segued and I didn't even read the rest of my script, but a lot of people have waited for they've skipped 6E. Some of them have even skipped 6, depending on, like you said, funding cycles and whatnot. So now Wi-Fi 7 is here, but I've made it this long. Should I wait for Wi-Fi 8? I mean, what would be your recommendation there?
Well, I mean, if you've got Wi-Fi 6 and you're operating effectively, I would say unless it comes down to that depends, right? Our a couple of our customers in San Jose Airport, for example, right? We did an upgrade to Wi-Fi 6 with them and completed that upgrade like last November, December timeframe, right? Last November, San Jose Airport awarded fastest airport Wi-Fi in the United States, right? Can you give me the applause background noise?
Thank you. Thank you. I was going to say San Jose is going to make our general manager. I always get his title wrong. Sorry, Bart. Because that's, I think, his home airport.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And the airport Wi-Fi experience there is fantastic, right? But when I look at San Jose Airport, And just the increase of, potential of 45 times capacity, right? I mean, that's nuts, right? That's crazy. Along with increased quality of service because you got lower latency, to stay on top, you got to get in the game. So for someone like that where business depends on it, I am going to start encouraging the planning for Wi-Fi 7. Now, cities move at the speed of light, as you all know. They move so fast with all the decisions and all that good stuff. I'm just kidding, obviously. So if we start planning now, by 2025, we have an opportunity to be fastest airport Wi-Fi again. That's the way I see it. Also, the convention center, the San Jose Convention Center, we manage all the IT events in there. And man, you want to make Wi-Fi break, which historically you could put a bunch of TwitchCon conferencers in a large exhibit hall, like 10,000 of them in a large exhibit halls with no walls to block RF. And you're going to see how good you are at design, right? Because it's going to test you, right? Wi-Fi 7, it could make us a lot less nervous when a show starts at the convention center. I'll just put it like that, right?
So
no, that's true.
Al, maybe, maybe, Al, maybe one day when San Jose gets the fastest airport 2 years in a row, then you can tie me.
Oh boy!
Congratulations,
Jim's having visions of his former life.
I am. In my former life, I ran the Wi-Fi at Denver International Airport.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Fantastic.
So, yeah, 2017 and 2018, Ookla ranked me fastest 2 years in a row. So.
Well, I tell you what, Jim, I actually fly to the airport that probably has the worst airport Wi-Fi, to be honest with you. And I won't name names, but anyway.
You know what? We all need to get together because I got some stories for you. I know about you. I have a history with airport Wi-Fi and with convention centers. Because
a big dogs meetup coming.
We'd have a really good time because one of the reasons why I even joined Ruckus, you're talking about the convention center. One of the reasons why I even joined is because I went to Las Vegas and I helped my previous boss do Black Hat, Mo Williams. And I saw the way that she was putting out the Ruckus network. And unlike a normal convention center where you get to mount it wherever you want, we just got to mount it wherever they had a jack in the floor. And yeah. I told her point blank, I said, this will never work. I said, this network, it will never, ever, ever function because you can't mount APs like that. And sure enough, everybody loved the network. And I was like, how did you do that? And she's like, well, I used Ruckus. And I was like, So airports and convention centers. I have a little history of this. That's fun.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, the product does make a difference with antenna technology. There's no doubt about it. I mean, BeamFlex, I'm telling you, the experiences have been fantastic at both of those venues. It's tough. You think about it. You if you're waiting on a plane, it's not so much getting off the plane because people just like check their email and they, hit their Uber app and they're off to the races. But when they're waiting on a plane, I mean, I sit in that airport a lot. I fly out there a lot, right? And there are people streaming movies, all kinds of stuff, and you don't hear any complaining or whining. I tell you, you hear a lot of that at the airport I fly out of to get to California. There's no.
Well, airport. I've always said airports are really interesting, though, because, you were talking about there's not really that thing of when they get off the plane. And yet, if you think about it, you have a plane load of people sitting there and they're all trying to get their content, like you were saying. And then you have the people to get off the plane. But those people, if they've connected before and their device remembers, then they connect as well. So you have this really small window as people are streaming out of the gate, off the jetway, out into the and you walk past all the people waiting to get on your plane. And so you have this brief, moment in time where you have this almost like a plane and a half load of people connected to one AP. And so it's really an interesting scenario. And a lot of people, don't think about that, because then when the banks leave and there's like nobody sitting there, you can walk down there an hour and a half later and the whole place is empty. And so you get these crazy peaks and valleys. And so it's one of the things I liked about airport Wi-Fi, is just because it was just such an interesting experience and I got to see and do a whole lot of things. So,
yeah, well, that's tip my cap to Ruckus on that one, because those APs can handle 1,000 associations and you don't want to have 1,000 people in there, hammering the majority of the time. I mean, that's not going to work, right?
Yeah, I was about to put my SE hat and say it can handle it, but we don't recommend it.
But they are associated, whether they're doing something or not, right? So they're taking a slot, right? So it's important to be able to do that for sure.
Well, that was a nice segue to nowhere.
There you have it.
I can recover that one, though. So we had one question kind of teed up, and I think we sort of covered that already. But as a leader at SmartWave, as somebody who's got their finger on the pulse of the industry, if you will, and you're aware of what your customers have been looking for and asking for, I'm kind of curious, without naming names or getting too into the NDAs that we won't sign because our lawyers don't talk to us anymore. What would be, if you have an idea of what segments you're dealing with that are actually or have been asking for Wi-Fi 7 the most, whether they've been putting 6 and 6E on pause or they're just really excited about it. Are you noticing any trends, or is it kind of just across the board, or how does that look for you?
Those that I think are going to benefit out of the gate the most, if that's kind of where you get into, are high density public venues, obviously, any kind of high density environment. I think the learning environment, education, K-12, higher ed, you jam in higher ed, right? You could have 150 people in a classroom and everyone's streaming, wanting to participate, collaborate real time. It's going to add a tremendous amount of value there. I mentioned, convention centers like the San Jose Convention Center. I mean, you don't want to have the Apple Worldwide Developer Conference going on and the keynote speaker up there and people can't connect. People can't participate, right? I mean, it's just embarrassing. So there's definitely going to be benefits there, but also high noise floor areas. I think of hospitals as being in healthcare being a huge beneficiary of this, because when they send these scans, I mean, they're huge files, right? And hospitals also, historically, it's tough to manage the infiltration of rogue devices, because doctors know everything, right? And whatever they're going to do, they're going to do. I mean, you can't control some of the things in those environments, and so. so that's kind of where the, you know, the puncturing capabilities come into play. You know, MLO, you know, combining across channels, that's going to be pretty attractive. I think it's going to have a substantial impact there. And then manufacturing, kind of the same thing, especially if you're in manufacturing, where not like the low latency machine learning stuff, or actually you could say that could be pretty sweet too, with some of the features to support IoT. But environments where people are sending large, like design files, CAD files, those types of things, high bandwidth is needed to transmit it, but yet you're in an area where it's congested or susceptible to noise.
Yeah, I never thought of the medical aspect, but I can definitely see that. I like it when I learn stuff.
That's 2 days in a row.
Maybe I need to take tomorrow off. What's today? Today's Thursday. Yeah, I can take Friday off. Yeah.
Friday weekend.
I'll just say,
Al said we could.
Al said we could take a 3-day weekend.
I'm your host.
There you go. See, he's catching on. I like him.
All right. Kind of wrapping this up a little bit. If there's one thing that you'd want people that's listening to this, you know, that you want to impress upon them, or the one thing that they would remember from our conversation today, what's that one thing you'd want them to take away? Whether, we'll stick with Wi-Fi stuff and not, you know, whether or not you're co-hosting and which airport's fastest, we'll skip that stuff and just go with the actual Wi-Fi stuff. What's the one thing that you'd want to say anything to the listeners? What would that be?
Well, think about your environment, right? And think about it. If you are having some challenges with whatever, you're working with, right? Whether it's Wi-Fi 5 or Wi-Fi 6 or whatever. I mean, this is, again, arguably the largest change in the Wi-Fi standard to date. And even if you have a Wi-Fi 6 network and you have, problems with or challenges with interference, just throwing in that Wi-Fi 7 access point with its full feature set, you're going to overcome some of those challenges just out of the gate, right? Not having to look at channel planning. I mean, some of those features are gonna make it hocus pocus type of work, right? So, and if you've, like I said earlier, if you're on a Wi-Fi network, let's go, it's time, get up. Join the party because Wi-Fi 7 is it, man. Lucky 7. Got to go with it. More spectrum, 4 to 5 times the data. Eat it up. Lower latency. Greater flexibility with channel planning. Man, let's go. Catch the world. Let's do it.
Sorry. It was like all of a sudden somebody turned on the marketing man. It was just like, wham, comes.
I'm your CEO.
but it's like, it's exciting, and he's not wrong. I mean, it is
a cool time.
I'm still terrified, but
if you are a Wi-Fi guy or girl, I mean, or, if you're a Wi-Fi person, it is awesome. It is fantastic.
I mean, the fact that we've got new spectrum to deal with, even though it's obviously coming with not restrictions, but some rules. I don't hate the rules at the end of the day, because we've gone through 6 iterations of this so far. We've proven as a Wi-Fi community that if you give us spectrum without rules, we will make it dirty. I think when we talked to Bart it was about a month and a half ago at this point, one of the points he made that I think it's almost getting overlooked is the fact that in order to be Wi-Fi 7, you have to support all of this good stuff. Whereas before, it was like vendor 1 did this, vendor 2 did that. So I had a phone that did really well on one thing, and then I had a different phone that didn't do well on that at all, because different vendors deployed different things differently. Now it's like, this is it. You want to work on this. You want it to keep it nice. This is why we can have nice things now. So I think, all right, I'm getting more excited now.
It's a good point, John. I mean, they bundled a lot of stuff in this release. I mean, crazy stuff, right? I mean, they bundled a lot in there. So it is exciting.
I really am looking forward. I mean, and you mentioned it too at the beginning, and Jim and I haven't talked about this on the episodes yet, but like the iPhone finally has Wi-Fi 6E in it, or at least one version of it, which is kind of funny to me that they're announcing that and it's coming. And we're weeks away from Wi-Fi 7 becoming a formally announced, and we all know it's coming. Some of the manufacturers have already announced devices, I don't think we're going to see Apple do Wi-Fi 7 next year, but who knows? They took their sweet time to do 6E. There's always going to be something new and different, but yeah, it's still an exciting time. I can't wait to get some handsets and some APs and start to really, you know, play. I know Jim is going to his inner geek. He wants to do the PCAPs. I know he does. He wants to do the lab. He wants to get dirty. So
that's next week.
That's true. That's true. You'll be enjoying beautiful sunny California.
Well, I know our guys want to do that too, Jim. So, you know, they want to, you know, when we get a new release, you know, the guys like to get the AP and just, you know, try to break it. Right. I mean, everything we can, we try to break it. We want to know what it is and what it isn't, so we can set the right expectations to the customer and say, hey, you know, you drank the Kool-Aid this time. Sorry. You know, it doesn't really do it. But, you know, try to keep it honest, you know.
And for the record, I lost the bet because my bet was that Apple wasn't going to put 6 gigahertz in this iPhone and they were going to wait and do it next year. So I
would bet that they put 66 gigahertz in everything else except for the phone. Come on. Let's put it this way. We knew people that said that they were shocked that they didn't put it in last year.
See, but I was on the
phone. Prepared for it last year.
Okay. Well, we can go for another 20 minutes, but
I would have taken that bet on you. I would have. Sorry. Not that I want to take money from my co-host, but
see, you weren't paying attention to me then. I see how I rate. With that, Al, is how can people get a hold of you and SmartWave if they're they want to learn more about what you guys are doing? What's the best way for listeners to get a hold of you?
info@smartwave.us.
I feel like that's going to go in the show notes.
Got a website that they might be able to.
Yes. www.smartwave.us.
All right.
We'd love to help out your audience any way we can, Jim.
So perfect. To kind of drive that home. So you mentioned you've got offices in a number of cities across the country. Are there particular markets you primarily play in, or do your folks get on planes and travel anywhere the business is?
We are wireless gypsies. We're all over the place. I mean, it's you know, we travel a lot. We have projects across the U.S. in different places, doing a lot of stuff in Southern California, but we don't have an office down there. Probably open one up there in the next year with some stuff going on. But yeah, give us a test drive.
Awesome.
I'm excited to see what you guys do. I'll keep an eye on you. I know Jim's got he's done his research. I'm going to have to follow up. I think I might have had one or two folks from your company in the RCWA I taught in Phoenix, maybe, possibly.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I saw the name flying around. So, but looking forward to running into you at a future, whether it's WPC, Big Dogs, whatever's coming down the pike. Jim and you are going to have to talk about airport and conference Wi-Fi. So I might just have to be sitting there in a corner, just hiding the microphone and recording it for a future episode. Neither one of you know what we're doing. But on that note, I don't have anything else other than a big hearty thank you, Al. I know I appreciate it. You're a very busy man, and I appreciate the time. Excited to talk about Wi-Fi 7 and really excited to see where it's going to go.
John, Jim, I appreciate the opportunity, and we really do appreciate the partnership in all sincerity. You know, again, we've overcome a lot of challenges over the years together and in serving our customers, and you guys have been great support for it. So really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Al.
All right, guys.
Anything else? Thank you. Anything else? No? Good?
Good.
Wow. Jim's speechless. I love it. On that note, we'll see everybody on the next episode. Thanks, guys.